herzlich willkommen zum Draußentester. Heute nehme ich euch mit auf eine Reise ins schweizerische Tessin, genauer gesagt in das Städtchen Mendrisio, das einen wahren kulturellen Schatz beherbergt, die sogenannten Prozessionen der Karwoche von Mendrisio. Diese jahrhundertealte mendrisische Tradition wurde von der UNESCO in die Liste des immateriellen Weltkulturerbes aufgenommen und stellt für jeden Besucher und für jede Besucherin ein ganz außergewöhnliches Erlebnis dar. Die Prozessionen finden jedes Jahr in der Karwoche jeweils am Gründonnerstag und Karfreitag entlang der Straßen des historischen Zentrums statt. Und da ich selbst schon dabei war, kann ich euch nur persönlich versichern, ein Besuch lohnt sich auf jeden Fall und ist ein Highlight, das man nicht vergessen wird. Über die Geschichte und die aufwendige Organisation dieser Prozessionen spreche ich nun mit Gabriele Ponti, dem Stiftungsratspräsidenten der Fondazione Processioni Storiche di Mendrisio. Er ist seit vielen Jahren ganz aktiv mit den Mendrisio-Prozessionen verbunden. Gabriele Ponti, right after the processions of the Holy Week of Mendrisio became part of the UNESCO representative list of intangible cultural heritage, the pandemic broke out. So in December 2019 and 2020, the editions could unfortunately not take place. Has there ever been, to your knowledge, a time where 2 years in a row the procession could not take place?
Obviously, we know that all the historical procession has been transmitted to us since 1798. So it's a long time. At least this has been the renewal of the tradition, because some documents says that even in the 17th century, we had the historical procession in Mendrisio already, but that was nothing to do with the actual real transmission that we do have. Those ones that are now played during the Holy Thursday and the Good Friday are transmitted to us since 1798. So it's almost 224 years that we have every year in these two particular days of the week, the Holy Week, the historical procession. Since the entire play takes place only if the weather is sunny or it doesn't rain, we don't know if for 2 years in a row it has been raining a long time ago. We do not have evidence regarding that. But even the pandemic influenced our actual representation. We managed to do something in 2021. So we didn't do the traditional procession, but we did have an alternative solution that was something related basically to the new motto that we do have as a foundation, that is tradition and innovation. This is coming basically from the UNESCO label that we received, because it allowed us to understand what is tradition that is transmitted. We are talking about live tradition that is evolving. It's not the cultural label that we got, is that because there is an evolution behind the historical procession. And some evidence basically showed us that there's been a different evolution, even though the story behind the Holy Passion is always the same. On the other side, we have seen an evolution in the tradition, because in 1936, for example, the three Marys were represented by three men. So they were wearing such a kind of burqa, and below that there was not three women, but instead three men. And nowadays it's something that is make us laughing, because we know that the cultural evolution fundamentally brought the women to the same level as the men. At that time, that was not that evident to have the parity of the sex. But it's the procession basically evolved as well in changing the role of the three Marys.
Now, the UNESCO put the procession on this very famous cultural heritage list about 2.5 years ago. What exactly does that mean for Mendrisio and for the procession?
Basically, it means a lot for us because this is a recognition that is coming from abroad. We know every person from Mendrisio knows very well the tradition, is very well attached to that. And we know that in Mendrisio, Easter is definitely more important than Christmas, because we could just avoid to celebrate Christmas in Mendrisio, nobody almost will recognize it. But if we do not celebrate Easter at that time, there will be a big revolution in Mendrisio. But that was something that we were aware of, this situation. But the label of the recognition of the UNESCO cultural heritage brought us a worldwide. So basically gave us a label that is recognized not only in Mendrisio, not only in the Canton Ticino, not only in the Confederation, but really worldwide. So this is something really important for us.
And so following this decision, has there already been any feedback, additional feedback to Mendrisio from other countries, from new audiences maybe?
Yeah, actually, this is difficult to say in the sense that we did for sure have a good advertisement from this label, but we didn't touch it really yet because of the situation we had to face during these years where, let's say, our cultural or habits has been changing. So we didn't really manage to really weigh this big advertisement results in that we are getting from the UNESCO label.
Let's talk a little bit about the procession. You mentioned there are 2 days, that means two processions actually, Holy Thursday and Holy Friday during the Easter week. Could you tell us a little bit about the history? Do you know, do you have any evidence why and how this all started?
Actually, you mentioned it right, that there are 2 days with two different processions. On the Holy Thursday, basically, you have the Christ going around in the old town of Mendrisio, representing the day where Christ is crucified, so is still alive. The day after, the Good Friday, basically, there is the entierro. This is basically the funeral of Christ. So we do not have the real Christ, but we do have a simulacro that is brought with the Holy Virgin as well. It's more religious than the Holy Thursday. And those two processions are basically coming from two different categories of monarchs, priests that we had in Mendrisio. There was two congregation, one that was the Servi di Maria and the other one that was I Padri Serviti. They were living here in Mendrisio and both of them wanted to celebrate this passion. First, we had the Holy Thursday. That was basically the first procession that we were representing here in Mendrisio. Afterwards, with the Padre Serviti, we had a new tradition that is the one linked to the transparency that we have here in Mendrisio. That is almost a unique story regarding the historical procession, something with the transparent that brought us also into the UNESCO label. Transparent are the some lanterns that are the paintings that are lighted by candles at the origins. Nowadays, they are done with normal lights, but from behind. So you see the paintings during the day and you see a normal painting. But during the evening, when the light goes down, you light the candles, or nowadays normal lights, and those are illuminated by behind. So the light is coming through the painting and gives an atmosphere that's incredible. I invite you to have an idea of those transparent at the site that we do have, www.processionimendrisio.ch. There you could feel some examples of our transparent, that the oldest one that has been transmitted to us, dated 1790. Those are the dates, the oldest one that we do have.
And these old and original Trasparenti, they are actually being used during the procession. I mean, even these old original ones?
Not the oldest one, but some old are still exposed every year. So that means that the technique that has been used that days is really a good one. And still nowadays we can expose those Trasparenti for the Holy Week.
Let's describe for those who have not yet been there and who want to come, what can they expect, what can they see besides these Trasparenti? The two processions are, of course, different in story, but also different in size, and I guess differences in how many people and animals are involved.
Indeed. Let's say that the two processions are different, but not because I'm the president, but I say that both of them just leave you something to take at home in a different way. So it's not to say that there is one is better than the other. There are two different stories with two different feelings at the end of the day. The first one, the one that comes to the Holy Thursday, basically represents, as said, the way of Christ to the Calvario. And this involves almost 270 people with 42 horses. So we do have horses that are going around the ways here at the Vecchio Borgo in Mendrisio, the old town of Mendrisio. And basically, this is more a theater in a sense, that is more animated with the Jewish that are crying against the Christ. They want to crucify him, and they say a morte, to dead, and crucifige eum, and so on. So basically, it's more like a theater with the representation, and it's hectic in a sense, with the horses as well that are going around, with some trumpeter that are signaling the presence of the corteo that is coming, and so on. On the Good Friday, basically, is representing, as mentioned before, the entierro, the funeral of Christ. So it's more spiritual. So it's more sad, if we want to say, because you do not fire at a funeral. So the idea is really is more spiritual. But still, when you do see the two processions, you do have really some feelings that are filling your body, fully filling your body.
But this Holy Friday procession is larger, right? There are more people involved?
Absolutely. Those are, we do have something like 700 people carrying 369 instruments of the Passion. Basically, those are most transparent, small transparent, and the symbol of the Passion. Let's say we do have a small pocket with the 30 quids that Judah was selling the Christ, so the cock that is singing three times, and so on. We do have at the same time three different music that are playing live some funeral songs. They are following the simulacrum of the dead Christ and playing some funeral songs.
Now, I've had the privilege to be a guest in Mendrisio and watch one of the processions about 3 years ago. The procession is going right through Mendrisio. The whole town seems to breathe the story of the Passion of Christ and this procession. How do you manage to get up to 700 people involved, to be there, to do what they're told? This seems to be a tremendous task.
I would say the people involved are more than 700, because you have to count almost 150 volunteers that are helping us, you know, to organize these two events. Basically, as said, it's an old tradition in Mendrisio. Nowadays, it's not only in Mendrisio, because we had an evolution as well. So people from villages around Mendrisio are coming to help us as well. There are some people coming from Locarno. It's not far away if we want to see on a map, but still is something different in the canton, but people coming from Locarno wants to help us and to participate. So this is important. Nowadays, is the fulcrum is still Mendrisio, the Mendrisiotto. But since the tradition has been more known thanks to the label, the UNESCO label, nowadays more people are interested and involved into this tradition. So they write us, asking us to let them participate, and we welcome everybody. So we are more than happy to welcome everybody, because it seems that our holy fire that we have here in Mendrisio is expanding a little bit through the canton. And this for us is a very, very good, for us is a very, very good news.
Let's also briefly talk about the costumes, the clothes that the people are wearing. They are extraordinary. I mean, they look like they are from out of that time, 2,000 years ago. They're in excellent condition. It's like a huge live theater on the streets. Tell us a little bit about the clothes.
Yeah, the clothes basically are coming originally from the Scala di Milano. And it's a long time that we do have these clothes. Obviously, sometimes we have to renew them, because during the years you have a deterioration of these costumes. But the tradition, these clothes that we do wear nowadays, have been designed at the Scala di Milano, and they date more than 100 years ago. So some of them are original, and because we managed to keep them and still we use them. Some others, we do still have the original one, but we had made a copy due to the fact that the clothes were not wearable anymore.
What about the roles that are being played in both processions? Is there like a run for a certain character? I mean, obviously, I would expect the character of Christ would be one that a lot of people would like to play during the procession, but I do not know. Who decides on who is going to play which character, and what are the leading characters in your opinion?
Actually, there is no leading character, in the sense that, even though you mentioned it right, the Christ should be the main character, and he is actually the main character. But we do have the same passion to play a role for other different characters, meaning we do have the player of the dice player, that are three soldiers that are basically playing the vest of Christ. So they throw the dice during the whole procession. Those three characters are very well, let's say, there is a lot of ambition in playing those characters. Basically, the entire procession, I would say the only characters that do not have a queue behind, those are the soldiers, because there is no evolution in some of them, because they are just walking through the ways of Mendrisio. But the other characters on the Holy Thursday are really well demanded, because there is a different role, but there is action and that. So we do have the queue for almost all the characters that are involved into the procession. Who's deciding? Basically, we do have the foundation, the historical foundation of the historical procession of Mendrisio, that do collect all the inscriptions, the subscription for the characters. If we do have more characters, subscription for the same character, we do make a choice, how do you call, you pick up some names. If someone has already done the character before, obviously we do prefer to go for someone else that has not played this role the previous years, obviously, in order to involve really the more possible people into our tradition.
What would you say, as the president of this foundation, how deeply rooted is this procession in the soul of the Mendrisio people? Is it something that they still look at as part of their own identity, city identity?
Absolutely. This is well radicated to the Mendrisio citizen, but not only into them, but in the nearby, basically, we do have the feeling that this passion is growing more and more. And this is something that you feel very well once you do not play the passion for 1 year. It could happen because of the weather, and the weather conditions do not allow to play the passion. It has been the case, for example, in 1998, the two procession did not take place because of the rain. It was pouring down, big rain, and we were not able to play both procession. The year after, basically, we had the double of the subscription for the characters because everybody wanted to participate. And this is something that really you feel not only when you do it, but especially once you miss one edition. Usually, there are something like 10,000 people per evening. We are expecting, after the UNESCO label, that this number will increase. So we actually are preparing and are evolving as well with the procession in the organization. Because you asked me before the interest, if there is an accrued interest into our tradition. Actually, it's yes. We expect a lot of people coming from abroad because of the fact that the tradition is now part of the UNESCO patrimony.
You mentioned a little while ago the origins, these two Mendrisio priests basically being responsible for having two processions today. And I'm wondering how much involved is the church, the Catholic Church, still in this whole process of the event? And how much of a spiritual experience is this procession for particularly those who are acting in it? Does it still have a religious, spiritual importance?
Well, we do have the priest of Mendrisio that is sitting in the foundation of the historical procession, because this is something that is on our statuto, because since the subject is definitely something coming from the Catholic Church, so this is something that is a fact. But the evolution is interesting, because if we do think about this tradition 50 years ago, I would say that this would have been 95% linked to the Catholic Church and to the religion. Nowadays, I do say that those are historical procession with a Catholic subject, but not only religious or people that believe are involved into this tradition. And you do see, you do listen to people that are affirming that they do participate because they like the tradition, not because they believe, but because they are sure that those are part of their roots and they want to bring this tradition over to the next generation. So it's not more a religious idea behind, even though we have to say, I would say that 80% of the participants, 90% of the participants do believe, do practice, but this is not the main reason that is linked to the church. It's because it's a tradition, it's something that has been brought to us, and since it has been brought to us in this way, they want to bring forward this tradition because they want to leave the same roots to the next generation.
But this is also very fascinating and rare in our times, I would say, where everything is so fast. Here, people obviously are also looking back and they value the history of their ancestors, actually, and their religion, their cultural heritage. This does not happen very often. So this seems to be very special to Mendrisio and Mendrisian people.
Yeah, I would say this is something really well radicated here in Mendrisio. And since we realized that what we do have now is also thanks to the past. So it's not to say, okay, to erase completely what it was before us. This situation is because someone brought it to us. And if we do like this situation, if we are in this moment behaving in that way, is that because someone taught us how to believe. And since we are happy, we would bring this happiness to the next generation as well. So it's important to say from where we come, what we are, and where we want to go. This gives a continuity, and this is important for us.
We talked about the hundreds of people being involved actively and passively in organizing this whole event. I'm wondering, is there a need? I'm sure there is, to practice ahead. I mean, are there like rehearsals, and how do you organize that and where?
Absolutely. This is, as mentioned it before, especially the Holy Thursday is a kind of theater. So every character has his proper role, his proper behavior, his proper characterization. So we do, after the inscription, we do some practice. First of all, we do have, since basically all the time we were choosing the right people in order to represent the right character, because I do imagine if we do take into consideration that Joseph or Arimathea was one old man, we cannot bring a 25 years old to interpret this role. So we have also a list of all the characters with the characteristics that they have to have in order to really fully play in a, let's say, real way the theater. So we want to represent the story, the history, in 100% real, not to mix all the characters. So we do have the list of characters with the characteristics. After we do choose the right people, because they are subscribing for the role, we decide, the regisseur decides that those are fitting the role. We do organize different evenings where we do ask to the character to come to try all the clothes that they have to wear in order to make sure that they are fitting well. If someone has eaten too much, maybe it's a problem for the clothes, so we do have to adapt. And also we ask them to rehearse a little bit at the behavior that they should have during the entire procession.
This procession must cost a lot of money, I would say. You need a huge budget every year. I don't know if you can give us an idea of how much this actually costs, and particularly, where do you generate this money?
Well, the foundation is completely made of volunteers, as well as the entire organization. There are no professionals. Basically, nobody of us is getting one Swiss franc out of it. So everybody's volunteer is doing that because basically That we do believe that this is something worth to bring over, and we want to really show the historical procession every year. On the other side, we cooperate with the municipality that is investing a lot of time and money in order to basically expose all the transparency, organize the logistics that is behind. Everything is coordinated via the foundation, but the municipality brings the men work and the people that are at least creating the theater that is around Mendrisio. Every year, almost 300,000 Swiss francs are invested into the procession. Those are, let's say, real money invested. If we do have to count the time that every volunteer is investing, I would say that we would arrive at least at 500,000 Swiss francs every year.
Now, if someone from outside of Mendrisio, perhaps even out of Switzerland, listens to this podcast and says, well, I want to see this. I've heard about this and now I hear even more about it. I want to go there. Could you tell these people what can they expect when they come to Mendrisio? If they're interested in the procession, obviously they can watch it. It's going to take a couple of hours in the evening. Are there other museums, other options? How can they spend their time?
This is a very good question. Actually, it's something that we are working on, this kind of attractiveness, because we know that the fulcrum and the top of the tradition is the historical procession that takes place in the evening, starting from 9:30 till almost 11:30. So it means that it takes almost 2 hours, 2.5 hours every procession. But on the other side, we invested quite a lot of money in creating a little museum that is explaining about the characteristic of the transparent, the story of the transparent. And this is in Casa Croci. This museum has been realized in 2014. And that was an expressed request from the foundation, because since the foundation is part of the Europassion, we actually learn about all the members of Europassion that it's true that we do have the Holy Week. But if someone wants to see the tradition during the year, they should be able to come to Mendrisio and see the Transparenti, or at least a part of them, in June as well, or in August. So we created the Museum of the Transparency. For the Holy Week, the museum is getting larger in the sense that all the transparent are along the ways of the old town of Mendrisio. And we did create, since this year, a special tour with guides that are bringing you around Mendrisio, showing you the story of Mendrisio and showing you the story of the historical procession and then transparent. So basically, if you come to Mendrisio, you could just do a Mendrisio tour during the day and then get the historical procession in the evening as the cherry on the cake.
Now, has the president of the Fondazione Processione Storici di Mendrisio, which is you, ever played in this procession? And if not, does he plan to, and in which role?
Actually, I've been playing many roles. My career at the historical procession started when I joined Mendrisio from Salorino. Salorino is a small village very close to Mendrisio, and nowadays is part of the city of Mendrisio. But when I was young, it was having its proper primary school. So we were, let's say, always in Salorino till the age of 7. I was living in Salorino and coming down to Mendrisio without any problem, but I had not that mix with Mendrisio. At the age of 8, the primary school in Salorino were closed down, and all the students were brought to the primary school in Mendrisio. There I met a person who was, and he is actually still the president of the Good Friday procession. So he's responsible for the Good Friday procession. And he was collecting all the subscription for the procession in the classroom. So that was the first time I got to know the historical procession. And my first role was lacquey. That is the small kids that are bringing the light and holding the horses. So that was my first role at the historical procession. Then there was basically getting to know all different roles. I wanted to play most of them. So I started for every age to play the role of this age. I played, for example, many times Simone di Cirene, the Cireneo, the person who is helping the Christ to bring over the cross. So this is also a very good role, and you need a small person behind. So I was not able to play the role of Christ because I'm too small. I'm 165, so I was not tall enough in order to interpret the role of Christ. But they asked me to cover the role of the Simone di Cirene, and that was something interesting. That was my, let's say, top character. And in between, I did the young Jewish, the Jewish, and many roles. Nowadays, I'm not playing anymore. My role is more, let's say, behind the scene. My procession lasts 360 days a year. I take 5 days holidays.
So this actually is a very time-consuming task you have in this foundation.
Absolutely. This is something like I always say that it's almost a second job without remuneration, but you get that much satisfaction out of it that this money is not sufficient.
When you received this brand, this honor from the UNESCO, how did this all actually start, and how long did it take you until you got this great news? And yeah, I'm sure this was not that easy to get on this list.
Absolutely. This is something very nice because I got to participate from the very beginning. That was in 2012. Once we received an email from the BAC, that is the cultural ministry of the Confederation of Switzerland, that was writing to all the tradition in Switzerland. Those are something like 271 tradition, or the number is evolving. So I'm not mentioning a right number, but at that time, I remember that there was something like 270 tradition in Switzerland, recognized in Switzerland. And we got to get this mail from the BAC saying that they were actually going through the list in order to choose 8 tradition to get to Paris in order to be recognized from the cultural patrimony of the UNESCO. And they were asking us if we were interested into doing this kind of parkour. We did say yes. And then the entire story took place. So we started to fill in some forms in order to explain to the commission that was actually choosing among those tradition the 8 in order to bring it over till to Paris. Then in 2014, we had the visit from the person in charge of the cultural administration to decide what were the 8 tradition. He came down with the idea of getting us into the corner. Meaning the idea was not to have religious subjects as a tradition to bring to Paris from the Swiss side. Actually, when he came down, he then realized that this tradition was a typical tradition that would have been recognized without any problem from the UNESCO, due to the fact that there are all the characteristics of being entitled of the label of the human patrimony, cultural patrimony, meaning an historical background. So it's a long tradition. Is something radicated into the population, into the people, but also an evolution. It's not that we bring over the tradition without changing it, without inserting a new thing. Just the opposite. Even though the story is the one we know, what we did do is to evolve, meaning that the transparent are not only the old transparent from 18th century, but there are some new transparent that are built every 2-3 years. So the technique from the transparente is transmitted to the people. And this is also part of the tradition. And artists do learn how to paint on the transparente. It's not only old transparents, but are new transparent that are brought to the tradition and through the next generation. Some of them actually do not result as a good result. They do not have a good result, meaning that the technique in theory is well known, but in practice is not well painted. So it could happen, and we do have examples in the Museum of the Trasparente, that some artists say, I'm not interested in knowing from you what is the technique. I try on my own. And they did use different colors that are not transparent. If you do, for example, use white in a painting, someone would expect that is a bright color. This is not. This is actually the opposite. White is covering the light. And it means that when you lighten the transparent from behind, this piece of painting will result as black. So it's really interesting to get to know how those people manage to paint the transparenti and how resistant they are. Because as mentioned before, there are some transparent that are original, still exposed, that they are coming since 250 years. So it's something incredible, I would say.
Gabriele Ponte, this is a wonderful tradition that you and the foundation and the people of Mendrisio are keeping alive, this Easter procession. And I really wish you all the best, and I hope that a lot of people, especially people who have not yet seen it, go to Mendrisio and get immersed in this fascination of hundreds of years of tradition, of culture, of religious experience. Maybe a good advice for our listeners, there is an excellent little booklet by the Gesellschaft für Schweizerische Kunstgeschichte, GSK. They published a Kunstführer, they call it, an art book called Die Prozessionen der Karwoche in Mendrisio. I have a copy here. It is really full of background information, of history. It's published in Italian and German only, which is a little bit unfortunate. And I hope that maybe with your help, there's going to be an English version that people can really read this. It's a very good book. I wish you all the best. Good luck. And I hope to see you soon in Mendrisio.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I do always say that I have a lot of friends that didn't know about the transition of Mendrisio. And after I insisted many times, they came over and they did see it. And after that, they were telling me, you should have insisted more because we liked so much and we will come back every year since now. And this is a very good example, practical example of what the people should do. Try once and you will never forget it, and you will come back every year waiting for Easter period. I invite you very, very warmly to come to Mendrisio, because this is a special situation, and you will go away with a lot of feelings, with a lot of sentiment with a lot of good feelings.
Das war der Draußentester für heute mit Gabriele Ponti, dem Stiftungsratspräsidenten der Fondazione Processioni Storiche di Mendrisio. Wer in der Osterwoche ein besonderes kulturelles und auch religiöses Erlebnis sucht, dem seien die Prozessionen in Mendrisio ans Herz gelegt. Ein unvergessliches Erlebnis und deshalb auch zu Recht UNESCO-Weltkulturerbe. Weitere Links und Infos gibt es auf unserer Homepage draußentester.ch. Der nächste Draußentester kommt bestimmt. Bis dahin, tschüss und ciao, ciao.